One of my favorite hymns as a little boy, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing." And probably by the time I was 5, I could have sang you all 5 verses of it. Unfortunately, it's been a few years since I've heard it, so those words have gotten a little bit rusty, but holds every bit as beautiful and powerful a song. Well, good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. This morning, we're going to do our teaching on tongues. It's going to be a pretty vast teaching. If you noticed, your bulletin insert is a full 8.5 by 11. That is because I simply could not get all of the content on a half sheet. Needed a little more space so that we could get you the depth and breadth of knowledge that you need. So, this morning I'd like to start with the 23rd Psalm. If we'd read it together, Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, now in the name of Jesus, as we come before you, and prepare our hearts to open your word together this morning. Lord, we do begin by inviting your Holy Spirit here. You're always here with us, we know that. But Father, we want to make it our intention. We want to be purposeful in saying, yes, you are welcome here. You're invited to come and be with us. Because we want to be with you today, and that's why we're here. So, Father, bind us together in a bond of love and a bond of unity as we continue to worship you with the study of your word. Lord, the things that you're capable of, the things that you can do in us, through us, all around us. We know, Lord, because your word says, if it would all be written down, the books would fill the world. That's amazing. Lord, this morning, I pray that your power would be evident here. I pray, Lord, that you would touch the ears and the hearts of your children to receive the word that you've given me this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would touch my own lips with a refining coal, that I would speak only the words you give me and not one of my own. Come and be among us, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you turn with me in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, funny place to continue a series in the book of Acts, but this is where we're at. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now throughout the course of this message, we're going to be in chapters 12, 13, and 14, so you'll want to leave your Bible open as we go so that you can read along. They will be displayed here on the screen so that you can read along that way if you prefer. But I want to start here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and begin with the first 6 verses. It says this, "Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Before we move forward, I want to ask you guys if you would pray with me. And so I would like you to pray this prayer. I will lead if you will repeat. But I want you to pray this prayer earnestly this morning. If you'd take a posture of prayer and just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I present myself to you today, humbly asking you to still my heart. As I position myself before you to receive your word, grant me a teachable spirit. Holy Spirit, quiet my mind and loose my ears to hear freely. And false beliefs. And ask you, Lord, bind them and cast them away from me. I receive your Holy Spirit to fill these voids tenfold. Increase my faith today, O God, and give me a new measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Thank you. As we get started here, for those of you who are part of our Wednesday evening Bible study, you know that we talk a lot, we've been talking a lot about journaling. We talked a little bit about that even last week. And I want to share with you, thank you, I want to share with you some journaling that I did from 1 year ago. I've encouraged those of you that come on Wednesday nights that when you journal, you should date your journaling, and you should keep it accessible so that you can get back to it. Well, I date my journaling, but I don't timestamp it. But I received two words on February 11th, 2023. And this is what I heard the Lord say. I help you pray with groanings. I lead you to pray with a new tongue. I make intercession for you at the right hand of the Father. Oh, that more people would understand this. Many days, the people say, I don't know how to pray. Many days, the people say, I can't bear the thoughts. Even saying, I have no words, but my child, I have the words. I have the power to meet the needs, to go out and find the one lost sheep and bring him back into the sheepfold. Oh, that my children would be eager to pray with my spirit as well as in my spirit. For I live, I do not change. Teach, teach, teach. My people must learn this. There is fear in this gift for lack of certainty. But what have I said? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And from whom does knowledge flow? From me. Teach the people that the Spirit can pray unto God and needs no interpreter. Teach the people that prophecy in a tongue requires an interpretation. For prophecy builds many, but a tongue builds the one. Shall I silence your tongue in prayer because another can hear? Certainly not. For by hearing is faith grown. But teach that which requires interpretation, and that which does not. Come, bear into my spirit. I will be your guide. Again, that was 54 weeks ago. And when I sat with the Lord and talked with him about this, obviously it was on my heart, but I didn't know the timing. And in later journaling, that's what I said, Lord, I don't know the timing of this. I need help with the timing. And he said, leave the timing to me. That's why I date stamp, that's why I save journal entries, because 54 weeks later, the Lord said the time is now. So let's get into our teaching. If you follow along on your insert, we're going to start right at the top and work our way down. So the New Testament describes four types of tongues. Okay? New Testament describes four types of tongues. That is why I did not call this teaching a teaching on the gift of tongues, but rather a teaching on tongues, because there's some differentiations that we need to make. Now, as we take this time today to go through this teaching, I want to tell you this. I want to be upfront. I want to be clear that because we're teaching this does not mean we are saying you must speak in tongues. We are not saying that. What we are saying is we want you to understand who Holy Spirit is, how he can manifest, and we want you to be welcoming to Holy Spirit when he manifests. Okay? Is that agreeable to all? If it's agreeable, say amen. Amen. Now, for a lot of people, these three chapters that we're going to work through get a little bit confusing. And the reason for that confusion is because, A, they talk about nine manifestations up front in chapter 12. And as we go through the book of Acts, Bob and I are committed to teaching on all of those. We don't believe that to be necessarily exhaustive. So as we come across a teaching point as we go through the book of Acts, we're going to stop and we're going to teach. Because really, if we're honest with ourselves, most of us probably don't have a great understanding of prophecy. Most of us probably don't have a great understanding of words of knowledge. Most of us probably don't have a great understanding of words of wisdom, of healings, of miracles. You follow? And so we want to take the time to teach all of these things for the empowerment of our body. If that's okay with you, say amen. Amen. All right. So, as we get into this, let's start by knowing that the New Testament describes four types of tongues, and we're going to talk about all four of them this morning, and then we're going to close with how to respond to them. So the first two that we need to talk about are tongues for public ministry, okay? In chapter 14, verse 22, says this, tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. Okay, so this is the first tongue that we're going to talk about. It's the tongue for a sign. It is to unbelievers. That's who the sign is for. And it's important for us to understand that this is not an earthly language that's being spoken, okay? Now, the person that is speaking will not know the language, okay? They will be speaking in a tongue they do not recognize. Now, this is the manifestation that we see in Acts chapter 2. These were earthly languages that were being spoken. So all of these people from these 16 noted places coming into town saying, how are all of these Galileans speaking our languages? Well, that's by the power of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's giving them utterance, and it's for a sign to these unbelievers. They were hearing the wonders of God in Acts chapter 2, right? So they're listening, saying, these people are speaking our native languages and proclaiming great things about God. That's probably going to get their attention, right? And that's a sign to them that God is real. God is doing something new for them. So very important to understand that. Now, in today's context, I want to try and do my best to talk biblical context and today's context in all four of these types, because we need to understand that all of these are still accessible. Now, this particular tongue for a sign is not going to be the most common one that you're going to see, okay? In fact, I don't know that I have ever experienced this in my lifetime, but I did a little bit of research and I found some different testimonies from people. And John Bevere shared a testimony about one time when he was out speaking. I believe he said he was speaking in Atlanta, and he was in this huge auditorium, and he found out after his lesson that in the back of that auditorium was a woman who felt the urge to speak in tongues during his entire message. And while she was speaking, as he recounts the testimony, she was not speaking loudly, but just in a normal tone of voice. Okay? And so he's teaching, she's in the back of the auditorium and just speaking in tongues. And at the end of his message, there was a man sitting in front of this woman who was speaking in tongues, and he turned around and said, "Ma'am, your French is beautiful. And the dialect that you speak with is an ancient dialect that no one can master. Are you native to France?" And she said, "No, sir, I was speaking in tongues." And he said, but it's, he didn't understand what was happening. And he said, "Here's what you need to know." He said, "As you were speaking, you were calling out scriptures in French just before Pastor Bevere said, turn to that scripture. There was a tongue happening for a sign to that man. He needed to know what God could do. And so God was using this woman in her obedience. She was speaking French, unbeknownst to herself. And she was telling this man in front of her, this is the next scripture he's going to say. And then he'd say, go to this scripture. So Holy Spirit used that tongue for a sign to that man to change his life that day. If that's all right with you, say amen. So that's the first type of tongue for a public ministry, tongue for a sign. The second that we need to talk about, this one is more common that you'll see in churches. This is the tongue that's given for interpretation. When you read through 1 Corinthians 12, and it comes to verse 10, and he says, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another, interpretation of tongues, that is this gift. This is what I consider the gift of tongues, okay? This is the tongue that's given for interpretation. And in chapter 12, beginning in verse 30, he asks these rhetorical questions. Do all have the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But this is different from the tongue that is for a sign, because this one, there are no earthly dialects. Okay? There are no earthly dialects. These are heavenly languages that are being uttered. And because they are earthly dialects, they cannot be translated. They must be interpreted. The difference there is, for those of you that have knowledge of foreign languages, there's word-to-word equivalence, right? So, say you're speaking French. If you say, bonjour, comment allez-vous? That is, hello, how are you? That's translation. Okay? Now, to further interpret that, it would be more of a good day, how do you do? Okay? How does it go with you? That would be the interpretation. That's literal. Kind of a bad example because it's an earthly dialect. But In these situations, there is an utterance given. What I want you to understand about this gift is it is sudden and it's loud. Okay? This gift I have been exposed to really all of my life. The first time that you're exposed to it, it might leave you a little confused. You might not know what's going on, but if you read the room, you'll notice that everything's okay. Okay? If that's okay with you, say amen. So when a tongue is given for interpretation, it is a heavenly dialect. Why? I wish I could tell you why. It's when you allow Holy Spirit to minister. And so this has happened to me when I've been in the middle of a message. And in fact, I was getting ready to close that service that night. And as I was closing the service, I saw a woman stand up. And I thought maybe she was getting up to go to the bathroom. But when she stood up, she instead raised her hands. And out of her mouth came an utterance in tongues. Well, I knew that that meant time for me to zip my lips, because we all need to take up posture for receiving. So we have to listen, we have to receive, we have to allow Holy Spirit to flow. And we'll talk more about this in how to respond. But in this tongue, everybody hears it. It's an unrecognizable language. It's beautiful. Okay, if I'm allowed to say that, it's beautiful. And there's deciphering that happens during the quietness. And generally speaking, more than one person will receive the interpretation of that tongue, usually 2 to 3. Reason being, that word has to be confirmed. Okay? If that's okay with you, say amen. That word has to be confirmed. So the person gets up and gives the utterance in tongues. Now, 100% of the time, God will give someone else the interpretation. 100% of the time. However, are people obedient 100% of the time? No. So, you're sitting in the pew, you've got the interpretation, you doubt, you second guess, you question, and you don't say anything. Well, God gave it to somebody else in case you might doubt, second guess, or question. But that someone else is also doubting, second guessing, questioning. Nobody's speaking up. Maybe God gave it to a third person who's also doubting. Okay, you're smiling. There's a reason I'm going here. Because when no one interprets it, God will give the interpretation to the person that gave the utterance. It is uncommon. I will call that uncommon, but it happens. Because the person that gave the initial utterance in tongues was obedient in the first place to stand up and give the tongue utterance. If you're going to be obedient to give the message in an unknown heavenly dialect, you're going to be obedient when God says, get up and interpret it. Okay? Most of the time, it does not happen that way. That is uncommon. Most of the time, what happens is the person gets up, gives the utterance in tongues, and someone else will get up and give the interpretation of what was said. Now, I said this is loud. In my experience, all of my life, I have been exposed to this from the time I was itty-bitty, okay? And every time I have ever heard this gift used, the way that I would describe it is, you'll get this, Something came on that person and amplified their voice. Right? If you're okay with that, say amen. Something came on that person and amplified their voice. There's no way that person could have got that boom behind their voice except by the power of Holy Spirit. Okay? So this is going to be, specifically if you're in a Pentecostal church and a charismatic church, this is going to be the tongue that you're going to be probably most familiar with. But please be aware that this is a tongue for public ministry, and this does require interpretation. Okay? If we're okay to move on, say amen. Amen. All right. Now, next, we're going to talk about the two tongues for personal prayer. Number one being the prayer language. Number three, I guess we'll call it. Number three being the prayer language. Okay. Now in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says this, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." Now, don't get me wrong, I love the Apostle Paul, but I think that there could have been a better word choice here, if I'm allowed to say that. Maybe I'm not allowed to say that. But listen to this. Because it's because of our English language that there could have been a better word chosen. Unfruitful doesn't sound good, does it? Because we think about, we talk about fruit in church. And we're talking good fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Or we're talking about bad fruit, envy, dishonor, disgrace, nasty, you know, strife, bitterness. Yuck, rotten fruit. But when we think about unfruitful, it seems barren. It seems, ugh. And so I went ahead, and in fact, just this morning, before the start of our service, I took this back into the Strong's to get a better idea of what this Greek word actually meant. And it actually, without using one word, you use several, and it says, "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, and my mind does not yield what it typically yields." That okay with you? My mind doesn't yield what it typically yields. What does that mean to me? Well, my mind typically yields rational thought. Amen? My mind typically yields my native language. Amen? My mind typically yields things that get you in trouble. Things like analysis. I better think that through real good before I say it. Before I make a gesture, I better think that through real good before I do it. But when you submit your spirit unto God and your tongue opens up, and so your spirit prays, your mind stops analyzing. Your mind stops thinking in your native language. Your mind stops worrying about who's looking. It's the faith disconnect switch. Okay? So when you have something that's on a disconnect switch, when it's together and intact, everything's running like it should. But then you pull the disconnect switch, and now something else has to happen. And so there's like, I call it a faith disconnect, because when I surrender to faith, my analytics need to step aside. And I need to surrender that to Holy Spirit and let Him do what He needs to do. So when you consider this unfruitfulness of the mind, I don't want you to think that using a prayer language is not beneficial. That's, to me, when I use that word unfruitful, it sounds To me, when we use that word unfruitful, it sounds like it's going to be unbeneficial, which is not the case. Now, note this. This tongue is not to man. This tongue is spoken unto God. This is the tongue for personal prayer. This is the prayer language. And I put in red, it requires no interpreter, even if it's heard. Meaning, you're at the altar, and someone comes forward to pray with you. And they begin praying with you in our native language, in our American dialect English. Okay? And they submit to Holy Spirit as they pray and begin to pray in tongues. You don't shut them down and say, you have to interpret that for me, because they're not talking to you. They're talking to God. So this tongue requires no interpreter, even if you overhear it. If we're worshiping and you hear someone singing in tongues, this is the same tongue. This is the prayer language that's coming forward. Okay? It requires no interpreter. I'll say that one more time. Personal prayer language requires no interpreter. Now, it differs from the utterance tongue in that it can be spoken very softly. In personal prayer language, we have a little more volume control. Now, when we're excited and we're speaking, let me adjust my language there. When we're excited and we're praying in tongues, well, we might pray a little louder. Because what do we do in our native language when we're excited or when we're really feeling the prayer? Yes, Lord, come and be among us. Touch them in the name of Jesus. We get loud. And it's the same when we loose our tongue in our prayer language. Because Spirit, this microphone's going to make me nuts today. When we loose the power of the Spirit and the prayer language comes forward, we still feel the emotion of our prayer. We just don't understand what we're saying, but God does. And we know this, that as we speak mysteries of the greatness of God. We speak the goodness that He is filling our mouths with. If that's okay with you, say amen. Amen. All righty. One more time. Personal prayer language requires no interpreter, even if it's heard. This brings us to the fourth type of the personal prayer tongue. This is the tongue for intercession. First and foremost, I want you to know this. This tongue is, by scholars, considered lost in the church. Okay? Now, it does not mean it's inactive. That does not mean it died with the apostles. It does not mean it's inaccessible. But many scholars say, we believe that this tongue is lost in the church. Why? Frankly, those scholars are talking about the American church. And in the American church, sometimes intercession is lacking. And so this tongue is by most of them considered lost. Now, I shared this scripture, and I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit hesitant to use this scripture from Romans 8:26. But understand this. We're going to read it, and then I'm going to talk about it. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groanings. Stop there and let me ask you this question. Who is groaning? The Spirit. The Spirit is groaning. I'll read it to you one more time so that you can catch that. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Now, when we started our Bible study on Wednesday evenings and we started looking at developing intimacy with the Holy Spirit, we talked a little bit about groaning the first night, I think it was. And we came to the agreement that when we experience groaning, it's in an hour of great pain. Something is dreadful that requires our intercession. Now, I say this, and it's okay if you disagree with me. I'm confident in what I'm teaching, but you are allowed to disagree with me. Understand that. This tongue for intercession accompanies the prayer language. And when you come to a place of, God, I can't do anymore, of, I physically cannot make another utterance with my mouth, then and only then do you come into this place that's deeper than personal prayer, this place of deep and, I guess the word would be painful, intercession. It's lamenting, okay? It's a grievous time. And in that moment, your prayer language will probably, quote unquote, turn off and become a groan. So that's why we consider this lost in the church. Because frankly, a lot of us don't pray this way. Should we? Maybe we should. Maybe we not. But praise God, and this is why I chose to include Romans 8. This is why I chose to include Romans 8:26, is because when we can't, He can. Amen. Say that louder. When we can't, He can. Amen. This scripture has technically nothing to do with tongues. But yet, it shows us that when we say, I can go no more, God, He says, I'm going to take your pain, and I'm going to groan for you. If that's okay with you, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. So this accompanies the prayer language, and it's much, much deeper than personal prayer. Now, most people that I've talked to generally say they've heard of two types of tongues. And I see how they get there. Sometimes they only hear public and private. But this is the full breakdown. Now, I want to look closely at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 for just a minute. Because there's a language here, and this is the sidebar that's written sideways on your handout. There's a language change that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 14. Between verses 13 and 14, he says this, "For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." You see the difference there? That's why I highlighted it in red and italicized it. Because there is a difference, a distinct difference between the public tongue for ministry and the private personal prayer tongue. The public ministry, like I'm doing now, is speaking. And you guys are hearing, listening, receiving, right? And it's conveying something to you. And so when this manifestation comes about and we speak in a tongue, as we speak, we should be praying that someone will be obedient and interpret. And as the rest of us sit and listen to this tongue, that should be our prayer. God, give someone the interpretation, even if it's me. Notice that I whispered that part. Better yet, give it to Tammy. Give it to Bob. Give it to Tim. Give it to somebody. But if you have to, you can give it to me. Right? So there's a distinction here. This is how we know that there's more than one type. Now, the other way that we know that there's more than one type of tongue is this. In chapter 12, jump back to chapter 12. And when you interpret this, this is what you hear. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. A lot of times we think that means the tongue is going to sound different, right? They're heavenly languages. It's going to be difference in dialect. But you could interpret that to say there's more than one kind of tongue that's enfolded in this. And that's the stance that I choose to believe. There's more than one type of tongue, and there's plenty of languages to go around. Why? Because God is not in a box. Amen? So that's very important for us to know. Now, remember last week when we talked about how new this experience must have been in Acts chapter 2. There's a sound all of a sudden, like a mighty rushing wind. Certainly, a mighty rushing wind kind of sound means the walls are rattling. Maybe it sounds a little tornadic. Might sound like a hurricane. Might sound like what we in the Northeast Ohio call the straight line wind. Rips your patio furniture apart. Makes a noise. I love the sounds of Scripture. One time I did a whole sermon series on the sounds of Scripture, and I landed there, the sound of a mighty rushing wind. But God gives us this image so that we can understand that this sound pushed through the house, captivating their attention. And as their attention was captivated, they came to a place of obedience. And they opened their mouths and spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance, as the Spirit enabled them. Amen? Amen. So, how do we respond? This is very important because moving forward, and we'll probably talk about how to respond when we go through all of the manifestations that we're going to cover in the book of Acts. Because if we don't know how to respond, we're going to feel scared. That's why we prayed at the beginning of this message, God, give me a teachable spirit. Cast out my fear, my doubts, my false beliefs. Cast them away from me. I want nothing more to do with them. But now we have to know how to respond. So let's start with the tongue of public ministry. When tongues are used for public ministry, number one, come to stillness. First and foremost, come to stillness and allow Holy Spirit to move. When somebody stands up and begins to give an utterance, that is not the time to step up and go into the hallway. It is not the time to go out to the bathroom. It is not the time to duck and cover. It is the time to sit and come to stillness and allow Holy Spirit to move uninterrupted. Number two is yield to Holy Spirit. That's why we come to stillness first and soak in the power. When this tongue manifests, there's a physical presence that is felt. Okay? I always remember, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Okay, when the Spirit of God is among us and this tongue manifests, you feel something. So you yield to Holy Spirit and soak in the power. And notice that this drives you to enter the appropriate worship. Now, this could warrant a teaching on worship and the different worship styles. Maybe we'll need to go into that at some point so that we know what appropriate worship looks like in these situations. But honestly, I would say this, entering appropriate worship as the tongue of public ministry is manifest looks like stillness most of the time. It's a quietness before God. Because truthfully, you are worshiping God when you're quiet and you're still before him. Amen? Amen. So come to stillness, yield to Holy Spirit, enter appropriate worship. If you're okay with those responses to the tongue of public ministry, say amen. Amen. To the tongue of personal prayer. Number one, yield to the flow. Okay? Now, you see that this has two parts. If you're praying, in the tongue of personal prayer, continue in faith. So, we spent the last 2 weeks talking about the flow of Holy Spirit. And we talked about getting into that flow, flowing with the river. When that flow hits and you begin to open your mouth and pray, continue in faith, please. If you're hearing, remember that the tongue for personal prayer needs no interpreter. So if you're hearing that person, you're at the altar and someone begins to pray in their prayer language, if you're hearing them, come to stillness. And then both of you enter appropriate worship. In that case, probably prayer. If that's okay with you, say amen. Number two, do not quench the Spirit. Paul makes that so clear in his first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 19, verbatim. Do not quench the Spirit. That sounds like a strong suggestion, doesn't it? Or try a command. Do not quench the Spirit. So, if you're speaking, if you're praying, focus on Holy Spirit. Continue in faith. That's why we pray with our eyes closed, so that we can focus on him, so that we can enter into a new place with him. Okay? That way we turn our eyes on Jesus and continue in faith. If you're hearing the tongue of personal prayer, stand and receive. One of the things that I've come to know when it comes specifically to praying for people is in order to receive a prayer, you have to be quiet. You have to be receptive. And so if someone comes to you here at the altar and they begin praying over you, and they begin praying in their prayer language, stand and receive it. Because know this, that when they're praying, maybe you want to know, God, what's they saying about me? Well, good news, they don't know either, but they're letting their spirit bubble up from out of them. And overflowing, outpouring blessing on you. Right? That's what's happening. So please do not quench the Spirit. Leading up to that, he said, rejoice evermore. Pray continually. Give thanks to God for all things. For all things. Give thanks to God for all things. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do you think it was intentionally placed right there? I do. So he says, get excited. Keep praying. Give thanks and let him flow. If that's all right with you, say amen. Our primary response to any move of Holy Spirit at any time. Any move of Holy Spirit at any time, whether it is at home, standing at the kitchen sink, it happens. Whether it's standing in the shower and the Lord says, let's talk, it happens. You're like, can I get dry first? Nope, let's talk. All right, but the hot water's running out. Whether it's Sunday morning here among our family, whether it's Wednesday evening here with our family, whether it's round the supper table with our family at home, our primary response to any move of Holy Spirit at any time, tongues, interpretation, healing, prophecy, miracles, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, any of them, is love. And notice that I left that real big. I want you to write that down in really big letters. Big as you can write them in that space. L-O-V-E. Our primary response to any move of Holy Spirit at any time is love. This means that when Holy Spirit moves, we love the person that he's moving through. Even if how Holy Spirit is moving wigs us out a little bit, we love them because they are a broken vessel, just like you and me, who opted for obedience in that moment. We will not exile the person that stands up to give an utterance in tongues. We will not exile a person who stands and gives an interpretation. We will not exile a person who comes forward and expresses an immense measure of faith and thus allows Holy Spirit to flow in healing. We will not exile someone who stands and gives a word of knowledge. We will not exile someone who stands and gives a word of wisdom. Instead, we're going to love that person, and we're going to love the Holy Spirit who was given to us, who brings these things. And notice in chapter 13, you can have all of this, is what Paul's telling them. You can have all of these things, but if you have not love, you gain nothing. You gain nothing if you're not loving. So important to the move of Holy Spirit is love, right? All of this without love is nothing. And we're going to talk, that's going to be the culmination point every time that we talk about a manifestation of Holy Spirit. It has to happen in love. Because I think he loved us enough. He loved us enough to say, wait here in the city until you receive power from on high. Wait here in the city. You're not going at this alone, but a new one is coming. An advocate for you is coming. And he's going to equip you to do great things. Folks, this is the empowerment of the body of Christ. Yeah, this is the empowerment of the body of Christ. And we find empowerment when we find a balance. So we're not going to strong arm you and say, if you're not speaking in tongues, if you're not affecting healings, if you're not doing miracles, if you're not speaking a word of knowledge, speaking a word of faith, speaking a word of wisdom, then you're out of here. We're not going to strong arm you and say that this must be. We're not going to strong arm you and say you must never do any of these things. Instead, we're going to meet in the middle, in the center of that cross where love poured out. That's where we're going to meet. And in the middle of that cross where love pours out, we're going to say, yes, brothers and sisters, I love you. Thank you. Thank you for operating under the power of Holy Spirit. Thank you for blessing me through the power of Holy Spirit. Thank you. It's about a heart of love and a heart of gratitude. And that's where Holy Spirit says, party on. Let's go. Let's go. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. I guess that could be the extent of my prayer this morning, is thank you. For all that you do, for your Son's life given for us, for empowering Jesus to say, nobody takes the life of the Son of Man, but I lay it down of my own accord. Thank you for sending us an advocate, a comforter. Thank you for giving us signs, signs that we can love, that we can live in. Signs that we can use to proclaim the goodness of God. These things are real. They bring us to life when we come to you. Father, this morning, as we bring our service to a close, I pray, Lord, that you, Holy Spirit, would give the invitation to this altar. And if your children are seeking you this morning, convict them, come and meet you here. If your children are hungry for more, bid them come and meet you here so that they know they're not meeting me here. They're not meeting the elders here. But they're coming forward to meet with you, Holy Spirit. Father, I pray even now a prayer of impartation. Increase their faith, O God. Increase their faith, O God. Increase their faith, O God. To receive from you. To believe on you. To live in the power that you give us, to walk in the power that you so willingly pour out for us. Let it rain, let it rain, and let it rain. Father, if your children are thirsty this morning, bid them come and drink. Father, be faithful, as you always are, that when they come with expectation, they would receive a fresh drink from you today. Pour it out, Lord. We stand ready, submitting to you, surrendering all to you. In the name of Jesus. Go with us as we hit the streets this afternoon. Go with us all through the week. All through the week. And give us power to be your people, to do your work, to shed your light. In Jesus' name, amen.